Glory. It works. It works. It works. Praise God. Are we on the air? Okay. You know, this week a couple things happened, but I was on my way driving to an appointment, and I had the radio on. It's probably the same station you all listen to around here. And the man who in the morning, he can be irritating sometimes, but controversial sometimes. And he had read a email he'd received, and it went something like this. It was from a young woman with a couple of children and a husband. And she said, "I'm concerned because my family is supposed to be Christian. My husband says he loves the Lord but refuses to go to church." And this DJ put it out there, so what do you think? And, of course, you got a lot of the you can imagine what you got. But the thing that really caught my attention, a man called, I'm guessing probably in his 30s by the sound of his voice, and he said he had a story he wanted to tell, and he says, you know, when he was younger, he said he went to church all the time, says, and every Sunday morning, someone shouted at him. Said he was told he was going to hell. That guy would run the aisles and sweat and shout. And says, you know what, after a while, I just got tired of getting yelled at. Said, I love the Lord, and I knew what my weaknesses were, and I didn't need someone screaming at me every Sunday, so I quit going to church. He said, but after a while, he just, the power of the Holy Spirit, I guess, just drew him back into a different church. And when he got there, said there was a big difference. The first thing he noticed is the preacher didn't shout a lot. The preacher was actually a teacher. He said he so appreciated not being told that he was bad, but being taught how he could be good. You know, we're about halfway through the book of James, and I know I'm really taking a long time to teach it, but I am quite convinced that what we need to do is to thoroughly know and understand the Word of God. Amen? Many years ago, I was blessed to sit under a man by the name of Ronald Cottle. Dr. Cottle, if you're still alive, thank you. And he made an interesting observation one time in a seminar. He says, you know, if you want your church to grow and jump and shout and have a lot of people and run the aisles and get all sweated up, so go ahead and preach at them. So you can get them yelling and shouting and have a good time and they'll like us. But if you want your church people to grow closer to God, teach them. So we are spending some time teaching right now. Amen. The book of James, chapter 3. We dealt last week about not being many teachers, but James rolls right over into this next subject. I will refrain from asking you if you have trouble with your tongue. Not because I think I know the answer, but because I'm not so sure you do. I want you to think about that. If I suspect and have a need to know if you have control of your tongue, I will probably ask your husband or wife, or your children, or your parents, or your teachers. You know, I got an acquaintance who once told me that man's capacity for self-deception never ceases to amaze him. To that, I can only say, amen. If you ask me, I will tell you what a great guy I really am. But if you ask my wife, depending on what day it is, you might get a slightly different answer or a greatly different answer. Hallelujah. James chapter 3, starting in verse number 2, I will read today from the New Living Translation. I just don't want to leave the picture. It's such a good picture up there. Amen. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12 says, indeed, again, he just got done saying, don't be many teachers. We taught that 2 weeks ago. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, please note the word if. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, and even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. Before you open your mouth the rest of this day, I want you to really think about this scripture. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say that inside, in this hole between your nose and your chin, there is a member that can bless or curse. It is a creative force. You can create goodwill. You can create hard feelings. It all depends what you say and how you say it. Can someone say amen? I've been in parts of the world where they said good morning to me, and with the inflection in their voice, I swore they were cussing me out. Good morning! Yeah, okay. But that was just the inflection of the area, it's Eastern Europe, but anyway. It all depends how we say it and what we say, whether we bless or curse somebody. Surely, my brothers, sisters. No, I clicked the button again, didn't I? Here we go. Someone got to take this thing away from me. I get in trouble with this thing. No, you won't. If you all think I got control issues, now you know. It can set. I may have to do that now that I made a fool of myself. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire, please listen, by hell itself. Now, for all those who don't like the hellfire and brimstone preaching, you're welcome to change the channel on your computer and don't listen to it. The rest of you, I ain't letting you out of here, so you're stuck. Verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. We just had that. The tongues were going on in here. Some was in tongues and some was in English. But people were praising God. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. And sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. Well, and so blessing and cursing come pouring forth out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you cannot draw fresh water from a salty spring. Hallelujah. Obviously, we're going to talk about the tongue. Now, the first half to two-thirds of this message is going to be pretty harsh. Hallelujah. I tell you that so you'll put up with me and be looking forward to the last one-third. Because in the last one-third, we're going to find some grace, Brother Bob. The tongue, according to James, is not only difficult to tame, James says it's impossible. Humanly impossible to tame your tongue. Hallelujah. I won't spend a lot of time editorializing, but I got to say something here. Please do not raise your hands or give me that grin on your face because it makes me know I'm talking to you. But I wonder how many times we have made a New Year's resolution or a decision. I'm going to be a better person, and I am not going to speak that way to my children anymore. Now, I really believe that when parents do that and when husbands do that with wives as well, I think you mean it. Because, you know, we look at ourselves, and we've heard something, we've seen the hurt look on their face, and, you know, I just got to do something about this. And we do try. And sometimes, depending how of a strong will you have, it works for a while. Operative word there was a while. And it goes pretty good. But I won't tell you how I know this, but I know that once you make a decision like that, something starts building inside of you. It's every time you want to say something, you don't. And you hang on to it. And depending on the kind of relationship you have, and it could be in a couple minutes or a couple days, you say something or you want to say something else, and you go, no, I made a promise. Here's the problem with that. I will guarantee there will come a moment when you will totally forget your promise and your wish, and in a moment of anger, you're going to open your mouth and you're going to regurgitate all of the anger, all of the things you wanted to say for the last month, two, three, four, six. Wah! And here stands your child, your husband or wife, your co-worker going, what was that? Hallelujah. It's called disproportionate anger if you care. But it's also called you can't do it on your own. Hallelujah. And yet, you know, I love it when people say there's contradictions in the Bible. I love to disprove that, and that's what I'm going to do today. But here's an interesting point. James tells us in what we just read that you can't control the tongue. And in the same context, gives us some insight of how to do it. I just live and breathe this kind of scripture. Praise God. We begin looking at our human tendency to stumble in a whole bunch of things. Now, I picked a nice word there in saying stumble. Okay, we could use the word sin. Yeah, well, whatever you want to use. But the bottom line is we all mess up. As good as we try to be, and I'm quite sure people sitting here that are loving the Lord, and you just want to do it right. I don't believe there's anybody here that's just hypocrite, and, you know, that's a Southern thing. You're acting like a hypocrite. You're just sitting here, you want to fool everybody. People will tell you that. But if you're here and putting up with this kind of teaching, If you're here and spending 40 minutes just singing, I get the feeling you probably love the Lord. And you want to do it right, but without a raise of hands, just how many realize you just don't always get it right? We mess up in a lot of areas. Not proud of that, but it's pretty much the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. And in the midst of that problem of making a mistake, John says, or excuse me, who am I talking about here? James says, of them J words. James says, there's hope. If you can control the tongue, you can control the other problems. That's a mixed blessing right there. I want to control the other problems, but I've already been told and I've learned through experience I can't control the tongue. Does that mean I can't control the other problems? Now, see, the Bible don't roll that way. The Bible will give you hope and then give you the information you need to find a way to complete that hopeful statement. Hallelujah. James says it's humanly impossible, and yet if we could do it, if we could control it, we can bring our whole body into subjection. Hallelujah. James's teaching does seem a little disjointed, but bear with me, and we're going to try to pull together and learn how to control the tongue. Now, in verse 8 it says, no one can tame the human tongue. The Amplified Version says, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man or woman or boy or girl. It is a restless, undisciplined, and irreconcilable evil. It's full of deadly poison. That's in your mouth. That's what comes out. That's the potential. When we open our mouths in anger, we open our mouths without thinking, we open our mouths without the grace of God, this is what can come out. Hallelujah. James says you can't control it. James presents the need very clearly, and we're going to look at it with a whole bunch of evidence. As a matter of fact, it's possible to misinterpret this scripture and this teaching. That's why people in the past, Martin Luther for one, said James is the epistle of straw. So people have read this book and said it has nothing to do with Jesus. Oh, no, that's where you're wrong. And that's where we're going to try to find out what James is talking about here. Amen? No one can control that tongue. James is not being fatalistic. Okay? He's not saying there is no hope. But what he's doing here is he's establishing the impossibility, and here's your word, of a human endeavor. James actually makes several contentions to prove his point. First one is, so the tongue's a little member that boasts great things. I want you to think about this just for a second. Look at your big old body. Some of you are bigger than others, me included. But I want you to do a quick inventory and think about it. How small your tongue really is in a physical manner compared to the rest of your body. Amen. Matter of fact, the tongue is so small there's plenty of room in there to stick your foot in your mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. But the tongue in comparison, is kind of small. Reading from the Message, verses 2, 3, 6 says, if you can find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. The bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. Now, I got to tell you something about horses. I am not impressed with horses. They're just too big for me to be around. All right? Many years ago, got to tell the story. I took my wife and the two children who were still left at home. We had seven. Five were gone. Two on the way out. They're gone. Whew. But they come back with grandbabies, so praise God for that. And great-grandbabies. Amen. We're glad about that. But they decided they we decided to go on vacation. And while we were on vacation, we was in the Thousand Island area of New York. They decided, and Marjo, I said, they decided, including my wife, the women ganged up on the preacher and said, we want to go horseback riding. Now, I knew this would probably be our last family vacation, but I didn't want it to be my last vacation, period. So we get to the stables, and you have to understand, you know, well, you can see my wife, you can see me, my daughter's about the size of her. I was the biggest thing in the family. So I kind of laid back, and they brought this horse out for my wife, and they brought the horse out for my daughters. And I'm looking, I said, there it is. There was a sign on the stable wall. It says, if you weighed over 225 pounds, you could not ride horses. I said, yes! Just in case, I was ready to pick up some stones and put in my pockets in case they weighed me. I wanted to be sure. So I told the man, he comes walking. I said, okay, sir, you're next. He says, I just read your sign. I can't say, oh, don't worry. As soon as he said, don't worry, I should know to worry. I got a horse for you. He went in the back room. He came out with one of the biggest things. I think it was a horse. They called it Sonny, and it was huge. I had to get on a ladder, literally, to get on that puppy. This thing, and I'm sitting there going, you have got to be. Now, if I wasn't a Christian, I would have said something else. You got to be kidding me. So don't worry, it'll just follow the other horses. I hope so. Thank God they put me on the back so the horse could follow them and the other people couldn't laugh at me. Well, we're walking and Sonny's doing good. George wasn't, but Sonny was doing good. I'm afraid of heights. This was the tall horse. It was, I'm sitting there like this going, oh. And Sonny, God bless Sonny, decided he didn't want to follow the rest of the horses. And here I am on this behemoth that wants to go its own way. This is a true story. And the horses are going there, and Sonny's going there. And I remember, the only thing I knew was about the scripture. And I grabbed that rein, and I yanked as hard as I could. And Sonny kept going like this, but all of a sudden, he began to follow the bit. And I was able to bring him under control. Now, if I could control Sonny with that little bit in his mouth, hallelujah, what could that little tongue do with our entire life? We're going to follow wherever the tongue is leading. We're going to follow wherever our speech is taking us. If we're cussing someone out, that's the kind of person we're going to be. If we got nothing but evil to say about people, we become an evil person. We follow the bit. Hallelujah. And you people got boats, you know about that, and I'm not even going to talk about it. Hallelujah. We also know that it only takes a spark to start a forest fire. Anybody ever seen those? I'm glad I don't live in California. I look at them people, I say, my God, that state is always on fire. They talk about it falling in the ocean someday. There ain't going to be nothing left to fall in the ocean but ash. I mean, it seems like at least 3 or 4 times a year there's this fire out there. And it started, Brother Dave, not with a big napalm bomb. It started with a campfire. It started with lightning. It started with a spark. And thousands, I guess, I don't know if millions, but at least thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres get burned up. So it doesn't take a big thing to cause a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. Now, with a bit, you can control the whole horse. As big as Sonny was, he went exactly where I yanked that bit because he didn't want that thing pulling on him no more. So with a bit, you can control the whole horse. With a rudder, you can control a whole ship. And with a small fire, you can destroy a whole forest. If we can control the small member, the tongue, we can have control over the whole body. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to think about that for a moment. See, some of you have never thought about living the victorious life. Brother John was right a couple of months ago, 6 months ago when he was here. He was teasing me about watching soccer. How dare he? He watches golf. Anyway, Brother John, if you're hearing on the internet, God bless you. But he made a remark. He says, you know, in soccer you spend 90 minutes running around trying not to lose. He says, instead of spending your life trying not to lose, why don't you try to live in victory? I don't know if you remember him preaching that here. But that challenged me. It shook me to my being, and I've spent the last 6 months saying, you know, I don't want to run around not trying to lose. I want victory. I am more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. James says if we can control the tongue, we can control the rest of our being. Hallelujah to God. Think about it. He says the tongue boasts things, and he says the tongue is a fire. Now, this is some pretty... not user-friendly terminology. See, I think there's something wrong when you go to church and can't hear the word hell. The only time you hear hell is out in the front of the church where they come to church. James says, verse 6, but your speech can ruin the whole world. Now, I took this from the message. I checked them all out. I checked this one because it's user-friendly. By your speech, you can ruin the whole world and turn harmony into chaos. Are you thinking about it now? Are you thinking about what happens when we open our mouth? Hallelujah. Throw mud on our reputation, set the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. I'm not one looking for a demon behind every bush, but I do know he exists. And I want to know what the source of something is. When we begin to speak evil of someone, is that what Jesus would say? Let me help you with this. This is something that has just, Brother Juan, this just gets me every time I think about this. Jesus said, I have not said anything I have not heard my Father say, and I have not done anything I have not seen my Father do. Now think about that scripture the next time you're ready to cuss out somebody in the line in front of you. Or the next time someone goes to the express line with 22 items in their shopping cart instead of 10. And you're tempted to call them, it may not be a curse word, it may be calling them a dummy. I wonder if you've ever heard your Father call anybody a dummy. You say, is this getting legalistic? No, man, this is Bible. I want to help you with some things here. Hallelujah. These scriptures tell us that there's a significance to the tongue, and it has a great potential. Someone say potential. Tell your neighbor the tongue's got potential. But the potential I'm talking about is a potential for destruction. The tongue is a fire, King James Version, in a world of iniquity. We're going to go to that word in a minute. So is the tongue among your members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. The word iniquity means a condition of not being right with God and his holiness and righteousness, or being right with man and what his conscience tells him is right. When the scripture says the tongue is a world of iniquity, it means you're not right with God or your fellow man. What did God tell us we had to do? Oh, yeah, love him and our neighbor. If the tongue is cussing God, if the tongue is cursing the neighbor, how can we possibly be the righteous person that God's called us to be? Now, I told you the first half or so of this is rough. Hang in there for a few minutes. Nevertheless, Paul tells Timothy, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. I rejoice in that daily. God knows I belong to him. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from what? Help me out. Depart from a condition of not being right with God or his fellow man. If we're gonna be buds with God, we gotta depart from arakia. It's a very strong word, by the way. Very strong if you look up in Greek. Hallelujah. The tongue is set in our way in a way that it defiles our entire life. We can do all the right things, but we start opening up our mouth and cursing people. What good is our good? Does that make sense? What good is the good works? Oh, I love you, brother. Just don't you dare pull in front of me out there in that parking lot. We'll sit here and say, oh, love the Jesus. I love Jesus. But let someone try to get to this Route 6 out here when church is over before you do. You're going to find out how much comes out of your tongue and how much is liable to defile you. Hallelujah to God. The tongue, please, this is a very important principle. The tongue cannot be held in isolation. Oh, I only have a problem saying the wrong thing. It defiles your entire Christian walk. Are you out there? Hallelujah. Before people can judge your Christianity by what you do, they may already have prejudged you by what you've said. Well, it corrupts, it defiles the whole body. Hallelujah to God. Interesting word here. James said it sets on fire the course of nature. Now, I don't know about you. I used to read this thing, and the word nature means trees and flowers and shrubs. Until you begin to read the word in another language it was written in, you'll find out that the nature James is talking about setting on fire is our human nature. He said the tongue sets our nature, not the trees. We're not talking about a world fire. We're not talking about a forest fire. We're talking about ourselves. James says it defiles and sets on fire our own nature. Hallelujah to God. The tongue affects not just part of our being, but affects our entire life. And not only affects what we do. Are you ready? Hang on. We just put these new chairs there, and I forgot to order seatbelts, so hang on to them. It not only affects what you do, but your tongue affects who you are. Can someone say amen or oh my? Glory to God. Now we're getting ready to turn to the good stuff, but I got a couple more things to show you here. The tongue is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. Anybody watch that new show on TV called Swamp People? Guys are crazy. I'm so glad God did not plant me in Louisiana. Now, it's crazy enough to go out hunting alligator. But on this one show, alligator weren't biting. They went hunting snakes. No. And this one show, this boy, God love him. I don't know how he got to be as old as he did. He reached in the water and grabbed this thing. Now, when you grab a snake in this part of the bayou, you got one. You might have a problem because there's two snakes that look identical. One is okay and one's deadly poison. Don't make a mistake. And as he reached in to grab this serpent, it bit him. Now, I could tell because I know they were filming this thing. It wasn't poison because that would have been the end of filming right there. But they kept going, and he's just looking. I wonder if it was poisonous. Now, that wouldn't be me, Brother Dave. I don't have to worry about if a snake is poisonous. If something's going to latch hold of me, I'm dead like that because my heart's going to stop. Hallelujah. But just the same as a serpent is full of poison, James says, so's your tongue. If a poisonous snake bites you, you're going to have some major problems that may lead to death. You ever been bitten by a tongue? Have you ever been bitten by a tongue with someone who says something about you or to you or says something that you thought you'd never hear, but it came back to you anyway? It's just like being snake bit. It's just as painful, just as hurtful. And there ain't no anecdote in the Wayne County Hospital for it. You're just plain going to hurt. And that's what James is talking about here. The human tongue can be tamed by no man, undisciplined, and full of deadly poison. Not only is it evil, this is a Matthew Henry commentary word. It's aggressively evil. Now, I am told, I will not find this out on myself, that if you leave a snake alone, it will leave you alone. The tongue is not that way. You can leave someone's tongue alone, it will come and find you anyway. It's aggressive. It'll come looking for you. I found that out recently. I was told I said something. I told my boss, if you're going to charge me anything, charge me being stupid. Hallelujah. And I was studying this all while I was going through that. And I said, yeah, that tongue thing, you know. It's aggressively evil. It's not passive. The tongue wants to say things. It wants to say things hurtful. You know, you can't really, as much as you want to, you just can't smack them. You sure can cuss them out. And you can do it with Christian language. You don't have to use a curse word. To y'all being quiet, either I've lost you or you're feeling guilty. Hallelujah. I hope it's the latter. The tongue is aggressively evil and ready to attack. Hallelujah. So I don't know about y'all. I'm just gonna tell you about my weaknesses. There are times I don't even have to open my mouth. I feel my tongue just wanting to push it open. It just has to say something. You know, some things you just can't let go. You know what I mean? So I see two brothers back there. God bless that spirit of truth. See, the rest of you say, oh, no, I've been under his preaching before. He'll pick on me if I shake my head, yes. You're human. Y'all got a tongue, and it wants to pop out and just say something wrong. Hallelujah to God. Some people would try to tell me, and this is where I'd have to go talk to your loved ones rather than you. Oh, well, that never happens to me, Pastor. I have control of my tongue. Really? Tell me something, Mrs. Does he really? You see, we hold it back, and we hold it back. But when we think no one's around, hello, like when you're totally alone, except for this God thing, we'll worry about that later, No one's around. My wife's not going to hear me if I cuss the dog. The dog can't speak, so she's not going to tell nobody. And I can just say, razzle, frazzle. That's not tongues. But you got to understand something. We said in the exhortation part that Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Them bad words, those curses don't fall on deaf ears. They're falling on the ears of Jesus. Hallelujah. Tongue is just eager, and it's got enough poison to kill. Glory to God. James goes on and says it's untamable. Glory unto God. The tongue's an enigma. It's a defilement to the natural order created by God. I want you to think just for a moment. I'm going to get to the good part. I promise. Hey, I'm ahead of schedule. Woo. God did not. Now, I can't say this. I can't say this up to my reading. I'm old, but not that old. I wasn't there. But God did not create us to cuss each other out. Hallelujah. He looked at Adam after Adam had named all the animals. And Adam knew real clear at that point that there was no one there for him. And God said, this is not right. I did not create you to be alone. But he did not. This is conjecture. You want to argue me, you go right ahead. Argue at 3 o'clock because I'll be home. You can stay in here and argue. He did not create Eve so Adam had someone to yell at. You hear that silence? God didn't put husbands and wives. He didn't put Adam and Eve there so they had someone to fight with. Hallelujah. He did not put Eve here Adam, I should say, to turn around and blame Eve. Well, you know, the woman you gave me. Yeah. Hallelujah. That wasn't God's plan. We're supposed to be helpmates, soulmates. It's a defilement to the natural order created by God. Hallelujah. James goes on. This is scary. No, it's up there, really. This is scary. This is from the message. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. Never been done. Huh. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues we bless God our Father, and with the same tongue we curse the very men and women he made in his image. You may have read this earlier in a different, we read it to you in a different translation. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth? My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish or salt water the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole to get a cup of cool, clear water, are you? Come on, folks. If you're thirsty, are you going to look for the nastiest, ugliest mud puddle in the world to stick your face in? Now, if you're in a desert or something, I guess you might try to do that and suck the water out. I'm talking, well, got to remember where I am. Hallelujah. I won't try to say too much about Holmesdale water. I have turned on the faucet here, and it reminds me of that brackish, muddy. Anyway, I live in the country with a well. We're going to look for fresh water. Our mouths need to be refreshing to other people. In review of what we just said, and then we're going to start ending. The significance and influence of the tongue is great. Okay, we're going to review real quick what I just taught you. The tongue is not just there hanging out. It's not something there to lick the spit off your face. It's there. It's an important part. It has great influence in the world around us. Hallelujah. How many know the one of the main purposes of the church is to bring Jesus to the rest of the community? How are you going to do it? Hallelujah. Whoop. It's a little member. Got great power. It's a destructive fire that comes from hell, and it can corrupt our entire life. It's unruly, aggressive evil that's as deadly. What we got around here? Rattlesnakes, copperheads? That's basically what we got around here, John? Y'all want to be bit by a rattlesnake? It's not that kind of church, don't worry. I lived in the South for a while. I visited every church down there except that snake church. They could not get me in the door. First thing I want to know is where the back door is. If you don't have one, where do you want one when the snake comes out? There you go. Hallelujah. So, what conclusion can we draw from all of this? James 3:8, the human tongue can be tamed by no man. James just spent several verses of very precious scripture teaching us it's impossible to get this tongue under control. Amen. Now, let's look at something else here. We have been created to bring glory to God. The whole Bible teaches it. Am I wrong? We're created, after all the stuff we just heard, we are still created to bring glory to God, yet because of sin. Someone say sin. Please don't say I have no sin, because I got a rebuke in the Bible to come back and say you're lying. Because of sin, we're a strange mixture of good and evil. And I have notes in my thing that I didn't put on the board. There are some people who will debate that with you. The whole idea of having two natures. I won't debate it. I just accept it. How do I know that? I look in the mirror and I know what looks back at me. There's two things inside of me. There's Jesus, hallelujah, but George is still fighting them. Called carnality, and we'll deal with that word as we go on. We claim to be new creations, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we're told we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:1. I have to wonder when I read 1 Corinthians 2:1. You have the mind of Christ, but I sure don't act like it much. And yet it's a present continuous word. You already have it. But our tongue betrays us. 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, those scriptures, they're done. They're done deals. We are. If you're born again, you're a new creation. Old things are passing away. All things are becoming new. Notice that I put the right tense in there. It's an ongoing thing. That's true. It's also true that we already have the mind of Christ. Equally true is, in spite of those two truths, our tongue betrays us. Hallelujah to God. James goes on and says, if we could tame our tongue, we'd be perfect. But didn't he just say it couldn't be done? James chapter 3, verse 2. Again, I know this is repetitive. Hopefully by the time you leave here, you'll know these scriptures. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. If anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things. Amplified version. Please do not raise your hands or give me a guilty look. How many times are we guilty of just simply saying the wrong things? He's a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. If we can get this thing under control, the rest is possible. Hallelujah. That will stop a lot of legalistic preaching. I grew up in a legalistic atmosphere as a young man. And whatever the pastor was wrestling with is what he preached on a Sunday morning. It took me a while to figure that out. Whatever his sin was during the week, we got beat up on Sunday morning. And we were a Pentecost church, so we got it Wednesday night, Friday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can always tell. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. If we could get a hold of the tongue and get that under control, maybe there'd be a lot less of the other type of preaching. At the very beginning of these passages of Scripture, James puts forth a hypothetical statement. Okay? He says, no man can tame the tongue. Now, I put an exclamation point and a question mark. Because my mind says, really? See, I read the rest of the verses. In a human endeavor... Well, let me back up. Here's my favorite word. This is what seems to be a contradiction. I love talking with people who don't believe in Jesus and say the Bible is full of contradictions. I said, let's debate it. Let's talk about it. This is one of them. You can say, well, there's a contradiction. He says, be perfect, but no man can be perfect. We've been given overwhelming evidence of the evilness and destructiveness of the tongue. An established fact that we're helpless in the what? Human realm. The problem with our tongue is not human. It's spiritual. Are you out there? This thing here is not a human problem that can be fixed with human means and human philosophies and human sciences. It's a spiritual problem. It's being set on fire from hell, and I can't quench hell with a fire extinguisher. I need the power of God. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. James says, now you can debate if you want when you get to heaven. Look them up. James said that all evil, someone say all. Yeah, y'all know what all means, don't you? It means a few. It means a couple. No. It's a Greek word that means it's all inclusive. Everything is in there. Pas, all. All evil comes from the devil and his influence on us. Now,
people say, you want to blame the devil for everything.
No, I just want to blame him for what's his. Hallelujah. I have enough self-blaming and all that stuff. I don't want to blame myself for what's not mine. But his influence on us. And yet, James also said earlier on that all good comes from God. Now, can we really make it that easy? James does. The Bible does. Can we, in this enlightened time that we live in, we are more educated. Do you ever hear this stuff? It's bad.
Well, you see, that was written before people knew better. That was written before the psychologists and psychiatrists got it all figured out.
You know what a psychologist needs the most? A good psychologist. Now, I got to say right up front, okay, I'm a licensed counselor. I work in psychology. And my boss is always all offering me a psychologist. Now, I don't know what he thinks about me, but I don't take it. Because I have the greatest physician in the world. He not only has an MD, he's got a PhD. He understands my body and my mind and my feelings. His name is Jesus. And I can go to him, and he doesn't charge me $175 for a 55-hour minute. He does not. I simply go to him and say, God, I'm all messed up. I know, come on. Do you understand that you can't surprise God? No matter what you're thinking and feeling and doing, he already knows. And now that just may scare the bar-Jesus right out of you or gives you comfort. There's no surprise. You mustn't hide these things from God. I want to talk to you young people for a moment. I deal with children in school a lot. And I have this experience of many times when my clients are called to the office, I go with them. And I don't mean to laugh at them or make fun of them, but it reminds me of me when I was a kid. Here comes this kid. Before the phone rang, and it's the principal saying, send little Johnny to the office. Little Johnny's having a ball in third, fourth, fifth grade. And then the teacher says, Johnny, Principal Smith wants to see you. And they kind of walk out. And, you know, the schools I go to, I don't know, it's, what, 150 feet maximum to the, I'm looking at Tom because he works in schools too. That is the longest 150 foot that child will ever walk. And you can just see him. And then they get there and they look up. And the principal says, do you know why you're here? Never ask a question like that to a child. Unless you really are writing a book and you want to write down all these silly answers. Something I've been teaching here on Wednesday nights, do not, please, parents, if you don't come on Wednesday, write this down. On the internet, listen to this. Do not, please do not treat your child like a little adult. I will guarantee you that your 6- and 7-year-old kid will not listen to what you say and go, oh, gee, I never saw it that way. Of course you are right, Father. Therefore, I will do what you say for the rest of my life and never give you a hard time again. Right. Moving right along at a blinding rate of speed. James says, but here's this kid. Go back to my story. He doesn't want to admit. She don't want to admit what they did. And they start pointing. What did you do, Johnny? And that kids can articulate everything until it comes time to admit their guilt. Then they get a case of the mumbles. They do not need speech therapy. They need this powerful principle to quit bugging them. Don't ask them what they did wrong. Tell them what they did wrong, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, where was I? Glory unto God. All good, according to James, comes from God, while all bad comes from the devil. So, I'm going to skip that one. James chapter 1, we looked at this before. All good things come from the Father of lights. God is available to help us in every situation. This is the turning point of this message. You got a bad mouth. You got an evil, unruly tongue. You say, are you looking at me? I'm looking at all of us. I'm looking in the mirror. We have a problem with our mouth. God has already said through the writer, the apostle, that if you need help with anything, King James calls it wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, then let me just, I got to play with this just for a second. Is opening your mouth to your boss and telling your boss exactly what you think of them, does that have any wisdom attached to it? No, I think you need some wisdom before you open your mouth and you're still employed. If you have a problem, God is there. If we'll go to him, say, God, I need wisdom. I so badly want to tell my wife what I think of her. How can I not do that? That's okay, because your wife wants to tell you right back. Come on. But hopefully, if you want to stay married, if you really, you know, you should, there's a man who knows. Before you say anything to the husband or wife, talk to the man. Talk to God. Amen. Chances are, Brother Dave, you know this. You know how I know you know this? You've been married so long. Those of us who are in past that 25, 30-year marriage, we've learned a thing or two. We have learned what they call in the business coping skills. I've learned to cope with this. And the best coping skill is to go to God and say, God, she so ticks me off. Chances are you'll get an answer from that, and it won't be the same answers if you say it to your wife. I got to play with this, Dave. If you go to your wife and say, you really tick me off because, don't do that, because she's got at least six more things about you that she can share. And that's the kind of sharing you might not want to have in your family around the dinner table. Anyway, just a thought. But God is available, and he's perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, for I am perfect, saith the Lord. Oh, yeah. If you know Jesus, you can just feel that thing. I got that chill bump thing going on. He's perfect. God has never, I thought about this years ago. I had to come from the Holy Spirit because I'm not smart enough to think about it this way. In all of creation, Sister Becky, God has never had to apologize for anything. That to me is almost too good to speak aloud. God, when he has an angry time, deals with his anger appropriately. Mr. Tom back there. We deal with children trying to teach them how to deal with anger appropriately. Anybody here never gets mad? Don't raise your hand. I'll call you out. You may not show it like I'll show it. Depends on your temperament and what part of the Mediterranean you came from. I can't help it. My granddaddy was Italian. I just can't help it. Amen. God has never had to come back and say, oh, Adam, I'm sorry, I blew it. The apple thing, I was out of line there. I should have thought before I spoke. No. God does not have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've heard that preach. I used to preach and God corrected me. I heard a very famous preacher say that many times. Says, if God doesn't judge America, we have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And because of the man, and he's a great man of God, I won't mention his name. I understand his point. But God is not going to have to apologize to or for anything. He's perfect. He's perfect. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's perfect. He, who? God. Who? Jesus. Holy Ghost. He can control our tongues. Oh, no, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm getting a thought. If I control my tongue, I can bring the rest of my body into submission. I can't do that, but if God is perfect and he can control my tongue, is it possible he can control all of my actions? Whoa. That's a whoa moment. When you read through here, I'm going to tell you right now, this conclusion I'm going to come to is inferred. Hallelujah. By the way, in case you're keeping track, I'm landing this plane now. We're done. But I got to warn you, I close longer than some people preach. Okay? Hallelujah. The conclusion here is an inferred conclusion. And it goes something like this. Hang on. James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God don't change his mind, doesn't need to. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of creature. Every perfect gift comes from above. Keep that in mind. We also know through James 1, 3, 1, and 2, it takes a perfect person to control the tongue. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. This is where we were 2 weeks ago. Teaching's a highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards. And none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong. You know why I picked this. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouth. Hallelujah. If we could find someone, anybody, whose speech is perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. Got to control the tongue. Control the whole life. Got to be perfect to control the tongue. Jesus, God's perfect. Since God alone is perfect, there's your picture again. Only he can control the tongue. Hallelujah to God. God is the controller. God, hallelujah. Jesus said, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Please listen to this. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, does that mean you just got to sit there like a bump on the log? No, it means you can do nothing good. Unless you're drawing from the source, you can't do the things of the source. Huh? Perfect man to control the tongue. I'm not perfect, but God is perfect. If I draw my source from God, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. Now, you may not have thought of your tongue as a spiritual matter. I hope from this day on you will. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Now, we throw around words in Christianity, and one of the words we throw around a lot, especially in Pentecostal or full gospel churches, is carnal. The word carnal, direct translation means without the influence of God. When you talk about acting carnal, it means you're doing what you would normally do without conferring with God, without his influence in our life, without his power and presence. Well, I really like words, and there's a word in here I don't see often, enmity. Hallelujah, because the carnal mind, the mind without the influence of God, is in direct and violent opposition to. I want you to think about this. Jesus said at one time you were an enemy of God. This scripture says to do the things that are not influenced by God is to put yourself in direct and violent opposition to God.
I thought you said it was going to get better.
It is. Because with Jesus as the center and core of our life, we don't have to be carnal. And if we're not acting carnal, we're not fighting with God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. Why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Who in here would say, I asked God to help me get control of my tongue, and God said, no. Nobody. I will not ask you to raise your hands. How many has never even bothered asking God to help you with the tongue? And going through the process that he reveals to us to deliver us from the power of the tongue. Hallelujah. Romans 14:23 from the Amplified. Whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. This tongue has got to be turned over to God. Our deep need, you'll be happy to know this is the last page. Our deep need here is to be totally possessed by God. I had someone ask me a question, an unbeliever, just recently. I don't know where they were coming from.
Do you believe in demon possession?
Yeah. Matter of fact, a believer asked me the same thing the same day, come to think. I'm just thinking. But earlier the day, before I seen that person, I totally just looked at me and said, do you believe in demon possession? Made me look for my wolfbane real quick, like, why? And I began to talk to them. Yeah, I do believe in the evil presence and influence and so forth. And they didn't walk away laughing. I wait to see what happens Monday when I see them. Hallelujah. We need to be possessed by God so he can forgive us and cleanse us from some of our sins. Wait a minute. You're going to argue me about this?
Yep.
I'm the guy with the degrees. I'm the guy who studied this. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Just because it comes from a pulpit and someone's got a REV in front of their name, don't you just buy it. What does the Word of God say? It says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit to control our tongues. Now, let me just say something for all us Pentecostals. If you think the Holy Ghost was given just so you could jump and shiver and talk in tongues, you got another thing coming. That's all part of it. But the job of the Holy Spirit is to make us into the image and likeness of the Son of God. Amen. It's the same job the Holy Spirit had in the book of Genesis when the Spirit of God moved across the water and turned everything that was in chaos and gave order to it. The same Holy Spirit with the same job will come upon your life and my life when we're totally out of order and speak order into us and lead us and guide us into a relationship with Jesus Christ that we will begin to look like him. I'm not talking about the long hair and the beard. I'm talking about our character, the way we act, the way we talk to people. I cannot imagine Jesus saying the things that I say to people. I'm taking this upon myself. I just went to God recently. My sarcasm, you all know about my sarcasm, got me in a world of trouble this last 2 weeks ago. And I'm saying, God, I've been sarcastic for 62 years, as if he didn't know. I finally admitted it. I said, God, help me. I told someone just recently, I said, you know, I've been this way for 60-plus years. I can't stop on my own. But that caused me to go to Jesus. God, you got to deliver me from the sarcasm. And not only control our tongues, but our entire being. God wants us. Are you ready? Hang on for the next graphic. God wants us to control our tongues. Photosearch.com. It's a wonderful thing. I actually put... It's you and me. Our tongue's out of control. I just can't get serious and give an altar call here with that. That's just where's the black button? Where's the blackout button here someplace? I can't make it stop. There it goes. I actually put it up there for Chad, but Chad had a sporting event today, so he can't be here. Hallelujah. I have to give him a picture of that. God wants us to have complete control. Well, why is that? Glad you asked that question. Of all the reasons for churches to exist, I really believe the overarching, all-encompassing purpose of the church is to make a positive influence on the community. I know Jesus because someone in my community shared him with me. Now, if that person had shared Jesus after cursing and cussing and talking like a salty sailor, I probably wouldn't have listened. Now, here comes a sailor up the aisle. I'm backing up. I'm glad he wasn't sitting down front. I have to back all things. I wasn't sure where he was going. Hallelujah. If we're acting all kinds of devilish, can we really effectively share Jesus with somebody? I have an acquaintance who's in the business. He's in business. And here's his philosophy concerning business. He says, when I get done having a business transaction with someone, Can I share Jesus with them? Oh, man, that is just cool. Because if, you know, if you're in there and you're just, you know, talking like a whatever and cursing, and, you know, some people can cuss. They cuss. They can cuss wallpaper off the wall. Just, and we're talking that way, or we're talking mean or judgmental or having an attitude. And then you're going to turn around and talk about the sweet love of Jesus. Chances are you have lost your audience. It's important. It's important. There's a saying, and most people who won't remember, some of us of my generation might. And I don't remember where I heard it, except it was probably in school sometime when I was a long time ago in school. But someone once says, the things you are saying are speaking so loud, the things you are doing are speaking so loud, I can't hear the words you're saying. Sometimes our actions are so loud. The way we're talking to people, the way we're treating people, they can't hear the sweet love of Jesus. Because out of our mouth, instead of the sweet love of Jesus, are coming that salty, bitter water. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment to bow our heads. Brother Jeff, could you just play something on the piano, please? Glory to God. You know, going back to what Dr. Cottle said so many years ago, I try to mix my preaching and teaching, but I believe it's really important for the church to bring teachings. I could have stood up here this morning and said, you got to talk right. Quit cussing people out. What's wrong? Y'all going to hell. I don't think that would have helped too many people. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit was able to move through me to say, there's a way you can change that. Going through the Word expositorily, just taking one word at a time, one scripture at a time, tells us there is hope for a bad mouth. There's hope for that ugly talk. That hope is Jesus Christ. But you know, before we can ask for help, we got to know we need help. We got to look at ourselves. God, yeah, that James guy, he was talking to me. I may not like the preacher, but I can't argue with the Bible. Y'all got to judge yourselves on this. But then again, there's a scripture that says if we judge ourselves, we'd have no need of a man to judge us. We got to look at ourselves and say, you know, is what I'm saying is it may be getting a laugh and a snicker, but is it reflecting the love of Jesus? Hallelujah. James, I told you, is a very practical book. My favorite title that I have given the book of James is Applied Christianity. I don't think I told you anything you didn't know today. If you've been saved for any period of time, if you were like me, you probably avoided the book of James for a while. But you just can't get away. It's just in the book. It's usually the first time. I think I can vaguely remember the first time I read the book of James. I wasn't comfortable. Because it looked a lot like me. But just knowing something doesn't help. Being able to use what you know, that helps. That helps. I have a friend, had a friend, I haven't seen him in a long time. He's a chiropractor. He went to school for a lot of years to learn how to do that without crippling people. And he told me, you know, George, all while I was going to school, it was a lot of fun. Of course, he was a party animal before he became a Christian. So he did the college things. But I learned a lot. I learned all the different things and that. But you know what? So the first time a patient walked in my office, all that went away. He says, just knowing it wasn't enough. You know, you studied, you were a nurse in Sweden. My wife's a CNA. You're a truck driver. I'm really glad you know how to handle that thing. You just didn't get out of a book. Read the book, but then say, can I apply this to my life? Honestly, God forbid if I ever need surgery, like brain surgery, I don't want some guy who read the book. I want someone who's done the operation a few times and read the book. Hallelujah. I believe that God's looking for people. I could be wrong, but I think God's looking for people who've not only read the book, but applying it. Now, let me give you some grace here that we don't always get it right. I don't know about anybody else, but every once in a while something will pop out of my mouth and go, where did that come from? Well, it came from my heart, according to Jesus. Do we always get it right? No. No. But when we get it wrong, can we go to God and say, God, that wasn't right? Please don't insult God by saying, I didn't mean that. Chances are you did. But go to him and say, God, I don't want to keep meaning it. The next time something like this happened, I don't want to call that person out that name. Can you imagine the names Jesus could have called the people in his day, but didn't? Hallelujah. God gives us the ability, the grace, the power. When Brother John was here last week, he asked a question, never finished answering it. He says, does God share his glory with man? And we all jump up and automatically say, God shares his glory with no man. But I'll tell you what he will share, his character. And in that, people can see the glory of God. We need to have a life that people walk up and say, okay, what's different about you? Not just because we don't smoke, drink, or chew, but because we actually treat people like people. When I ask someone in the hallways of a school, how are you doing today? It needs to be not just something to say. I really need to want to know. And you know how I can tell if I'm saying the right thing? I stop and listen. If I just say, hi, how are you doing today? And keep walking. I didn't want to know. Think about that. That person knows that. But when you stop, make that eye contact. How are you doing today? How's that thing going with your granddaughter? I hear there's some sickness. Just the other day, the lady who I won't talk about too much, she might identify her, but she usually sits at a desk where I sign in and sign out of the school. She was gone for a couple weeks, and I find out her husband died in an auto crash. She was back to work yesterday. I almost forgot. I walked out, I signed out, and I stopped, and I walked back. She says, excuse me. She says, just want to give you my condolences about your husband. And I stood there and waited. What did that cost me? 22 seconds of time. I walked out. My day was the same. I have a strong hunch that hers changed because someone cared. That's what the world's looking for. They're not looking, you know, I won't say anymore, I'll get in trouble. Sometimes I think when we talk about displays of God, we get the wrong idea. Yeah, I believe that God heals and saves and heals cancer and does miracles. I believe all that. But sometimes what the world needs is someone with a kind tongue caring about them. Father, in Jesus' name, so much to learn, so much to be changed. Father God, I look unto you and your Son Jesus, and I pray through your shed blood and finished work of Calvary, Lord, through your sending of the Holy Ghost, I pray for myself and everyone under the sound of my voice that we can subject and submit our tongue to you. Lord, you know the sarcasm, you know the off-color remarks, you know the wrong language, the insults. Father, we just lift our tongue before you now and say, Lord, help us to speak with the tongues of an angel. Help us to speak as Jesus spoke. Give us the gift of exhortation that we can use in our mouth, saying what is right, saying what you would say. Lord, I submit my mouth to you. I submit all the bad things and wrong things and colorful things I've said, and I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you, Father God, to put your heart in my heart, your words in my mouth, that when I speak, it would carry the impact of thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, I love you. Thus saith the Lord, how are you doing today? Thus saith the Lord, can I help you in some way? Cause us to speak the words that Jesus would speak. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we stand to our feet as we get ready to leave the house? Hallelujah to God. Father, as we leave this place, I pray we would not leave your presence. I pray your conviction and your love would go with us. And Father, even as we drive the highways and byways of this area. When we've been cut off, when we've been angered, may we seek